And we have shared several, for several weeks now, on the subject. And again, we don't have time to go back and recap everything that we've talked about, but I think this is week number 8 or 9. Faith is vital to the life of a believer. The Bible says several times, verbatim, word for word, in the Old and New Testament, the just shall live by faith. So faith is a lifestyle for the Christian. And we saw early on that the Bible also tells us in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, and that word choresi has more to do with location rather than the absence of something, literally could be translated, outside of faith, it is impossible to please Him. And so you cannot live a successful Christian life apart from or outside of faith. Faith is the way the Christian is supposed to live every day. And we've seen that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's important that you have a steadfast look and an enshrining heart concerning God's Word and what He has to say. And that means that, you know, just going to church on Sunday morning, that's a start. You should be there. I like my wife and I saw the movie War Room a couple weeks ago, and there was one scene in the movie where the woman asked the realtor, you know, how's your church attendance? And she said, well, I attend church occasionally. And she said, was that because your pastor preaches occasionally? I thought that was so good. You know. But basically, it's a matter of priorities. You know, how important is God to you? I know that in my life, He's always been there for me. And whenever I needed Him, He was always there. And so I can always count on Him. And from my heart, He can always count on me. And so I'm not one of these infrequent people. And of course, I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are here. But it's important, if you're going to live a life of faith, that you have a constant diet of God's Word. You want to live a healthy Christian life, you need to eat right. And you need to eat consistently. And so it's important that we feed on God's Word constantly. And we saw what faith is. We know what the spirit of faith is. You know, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, temporary, subject to change. But the things that are not seen, the things that are revealed to us in the Word of God, they are eternal. And so we can focus on these things. And whenever we focus on God's Word, it doesn't matter what we're going through or what we're experiencing. If we'll rely on God's Word, He will always, always, always put us over. Amen? Doesn't matter what you're facing or what you've been through. And we looked at several examples. And so this morning, we're going to focus on Romans chapter 4. And if you will, wrap this series up. And we've talked about many, many things as we taught on the subject of faith. We taught that faith is released with words. Faith is released with action. You know, I was sharing with somebody the other day some insight that I got from the Word of God just a couple years ago. In talking about Mark 11:22. When Jesus answered and said to a fig tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the word answered sort of jumped out at me a couple years ago, and I thought, wait a minute, how can you answer a tree? Trees don't talk. And so I started digging into the scripture, and I went to the original language, and that Greek word apokrinomai literally means to respond to something that has been said or done. And it always comes after a preceding event. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Trees don't talk. But yet I realize Jesus said something to that tree. No man will ever eat fruit from you hereafter forever. And that tree that had no ears heard His words and died. And so when Jesus went to that tree spoke to Him. We don't know what was said. We don't know what Jesus heard. We can make an assumption based on how He responded. I'm sure He went to that tree and He heard something like this. you're not getting anything from me today. And Jesus said, nobody will ever get anything from you from hereafter forever. And so the thought that comes out of that scripture is simply this: the circumstances of life speak to each and every one of us every day. How are you responding? Are you responding with faith? Or are you just letting it slide right on by? Or are you just listening to those thoughts and those words that are being spoken to you, and do you live accordingly? Well, we want to focus in on things that are not seen, things that are revealed by the Word of God. And of course, Jesus said, whoever would say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, but not doubt in his heart, but believe, listen to this now, that what he says will come to pass, he'll have what he says. Not what he thinks, not what he believes, but what he says. Faith is released with words. And the reason that mountains respond to words, think about this. In the beginning, mountains were created by words. And God said. And so they still respond to God's word today. Put God's word in your mouth. It'll be that two-edged sword, distoma, that is a powerful weapon. But I want to show you something here in Romans chapter 4. And you'll find that a lot of the old covenant history and principles revolve around the life of one man. He had such a tremendous impact on the old covenant and our lives today, and that's the man Abraham. And we know what happened with Abraham. We talked about last week how he obeyed God without hesitation, how he finally got it. And for 24 years, he really wasn't in faith, but something happened, and he got it and responded accordingly. So let's begin in Romans 4, 13. And it says this, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, then faith is useless or void, and the promise is made of none effect. Because the law works wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it, or the promise, is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure or guaranteed to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now keep in mind, Paul is writing to a Gentile church in Rome. He's writing to Italians. And he says that Abraham is the father of us all, because all of us who practice faith just like Abraham are his descendants. So the promise is by faith, or it comes by faith, so that God can give it to everybody and guarantee it to everybody. The promise doesn't come by keeping laws and rules and regulations. It comes by your faith. Now, notice verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee the father, a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham literally learned how to live a life of faith by watching the way God did things. In that verse, verse 17, it says, before him whom he believed. That phrase literally means in the presence of him, or in front of him whom he believed. Abraham learned how to live a life of faith by watching God and listening to him. Because God would give life to the dead, and God would call things that be not as though they were. In other words, God spoke of things that didn't exist as though they already existed. And that's just the way He does things. He told Abraham, listen carefully now, He did not say to Abraham, I am going to make you the father of a multitude. That's not what He said. He said to Abraham, I have already made you the father of a multitude. All Abraham had to do was believe what God said. And many times we miss it by pushing God's promise out into the future. For example, Jesus has already died on the cross. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, He bore our sickness and carried our pain. With His stripes we were healed. That's what Peter said, 1 Peter 2:24, looking back at what Jesus did on the cross. So when it comes to healing, which belongs to each and every one of you, don't push it off into the future by saying, I know that God is going to heal me. No, you missed it. He already healed you. Jesus paid the price over 2,000 years ago. And so if you're going to be in faith, then all you have to do is just believe what Jesus already did. Are you with me? But I've seen people keep pushing it away. I know the Lord's going to do it. No, He already did. And as soon as you believe that He already did, and start saying that He already did, and acting like He already did, and taking your medicine like He told you to take it, it'll work in you. Are you with me? So we can learn just like Abraham did. Abraham learned about faith by watching God, by listening to God, to listen to the way He spoke. He called things that be not as though they were. And so Abraham and Sarah did the same thing. They changed their names because the Lord told them to. And they finally got it. And so we get to that point when God asked for the sacrifice of His only son. And we went over that in a previous lesson. We know why God did it. So the righteousness of faith makes the promise a guarantee to all of us. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 4. And I want to focus in on one thought this morning. Notice verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Many times in our own personal lives, when it comes to God's promise, we have to spend enough time in His Word and in His presence so that we too can become fully persuaded. You cannot believe God for something that you don't know He has offered you. Amen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In fact, in Romans chapter 10, it says, how can they believe on Him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? And so there's a logical progression there. Unless you hear the Word of God about a certain thing, you can't have faith for it. But once you hear, faith comes. And so that's why it's important that we share the Word of God with people. You know, many times before we pray. Are you with me? Share the Word of God with them before you pray. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith will work. But there are many people, you pray for them and they're going against you because they're not believing. Are you with me? And many times you need to locate people. I remember I was in a meeting one time. This is Western Pennsylvania, many, many years ago. I was praying for a woman and she wasn't receiving a thing. And you can tell in the spirit at times. I mean, the anointing was very strong that night, and I laid my hands on her. And it was like pouring water on a duck's back. It just went every which way except where it was supposed to go. And so I knew she wasn't receiving in spite of everything that was going on around us. And I stopped and I said, sister, look at me. And she looked at me. I said, you're not receiving. Why? And she looked me right in the face and said this, oh, I know I don't deserve this. I know I'm not worthy for this. I said, well, you need to change the way you think. And so I gave her something to read. And because she was not in faith. In fact, you know, if, for her to think that I was going to force it on her, that doesn't work. You with me? I was agreeing with her in prayer, but yet she was not believing a thing. She was thinking, I'm not worthy for this. There's no way God can answer this prayer. And so it didn't work in that manner. So many times we have to share the Word of God with people. Notice this. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Everybody say strong faith.
Strong faith.
Listen. Faith can be strong, or faith can be weak. Faith can be great, or faith can be little. Faith can be strong, or faith can be weak. Now, we saw in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that God has given to every man among us, men and women, the measure of faith. What you do with that measure is up to you. Your faith can be strong, or your faith can be weak. It's not up to God, it's up to you. What have you done with that measure? Have you fed your faith on God's Word, and are you exercising it? In other words, doing what the Word of God says. You know, I know Janet is teaching in the children's church this morning, but she shared with me about a week ago how she had an opportunity to minister to her sister, and her sister was filled with the Holy Spirit. In the car. Not in a church service. In the car. Out on Presque Isle. Because she said, I want to know more about this baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues. And Janet said to her, "Well, would you like to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues?" She said, sure I would. So Janet just touched her and prayed for her. Her sister went, prayed in the Spirit and prayed in other tongues for 10 minutes. In the car, on Presque Isle. So you don't have to be a minister to minister to somebody. I'll say that again. You don't have to be a minister to minister to somebody. All you have to be is someone who has a heart of compassion and you care about others. And don't allow the enemy to paint you into this corner of thinking, well, if I can get him to Pastor Bill, well, that's nice. I'll do what I can. But you're right there. Why don't you minister to them? Are you with me? Well, I don't know what to say. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, keep coming on Sunday morning. Come on Wednesday night. We'll show you what to say. We'll show you what to do. And everybody who's been through the Getting a Grip on the Basics of Healing course knows those five little words. All you have to know is five little words. If somebody's sick, that's it. Five little words. In Jesus' name, be healed. That's it. And touch them. It'll work. Are you with me? Now, if you don't do it, I guarantee you it'll fail 100% of the time. If you don't do it. But if you do do it, you'll have more success than you ever dreamed of. Amen. So he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Let's look at an example now of strong faith, or we could say great faith. I want to show you some characteristics of great faith. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. Luke, chapter 7. Abraham was strong in faith. He didn't begin that way. It was a progression for him. It took some time. Well, it shouldn't take you as long as it took him. Amen? Amen. Took him 24 years to go from heathen to friend of God. Of course, it didn't take that long for him to become a friend of God. But it shouldn't take you that long. Amen? Luke chapter 7. And we've talked about this story, but Luke gives us a little more insight and goes into a little more detail than does Matthew's gospel. You'll find the same account in Matthew chapter 8. But I want to show you something about faith that you need to know. Notice verse 1, Luke chapter 7. Now when he, that's Jesus, had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Notice this. This is what the elders of the Jews said to Jesus about this Roman centurion. They said, number one, he's worthy. Number two, he loves our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. Now, that's very unusual. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter into my roof or under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come to you, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and it gets done. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said to the people that followed, I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Now, here's something that Jesus said about this Roman centurion. He said, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel. Interesting that this Gentile, according to Jesus, had more faith than anybody he had met yet in Israel. Jesus only said to two people, you have great faith. The Roman centurion was one, and there was another woman who was a Syrophoenician. She was probably Lebanese, and Jesus encountered her in Tyre and Sidon, which is north of Israel. Jesus and the disciples went to get away, didn't want anybody to know they were there. She found them in that house. She's the one who said to Jesus, yes, that's true, but the children or the pets get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus said to that woman, woman, great is your faith. Listen to this now. Be it unto you even as you will. In other words, you can have what you want because your faith is great. Now listen to me. If Jesus said that to that Lebanese woman 2,000 years ago, because God is no respecter of persons, he'll say the same thing to you. Be it unto you as you will. In other words, whatever you want, you got it. And your faith is the tool that will get you there. She was commended because she had great faith. Now listen to me. There are some characteristics of great faith that you can find in these passages. Number one, notice that both of these people came to Jesus. You got to get this. For someone else. Great faith cares about others. You want to have great faith? Be a person who serves others. Great faith is not selfish. Great faith cares about others. I can't tell you how many times I've been in situations and I'm talking to people and it's like you're figuratively, your heart breaks. And you want to reach through the phone and just meet the need. If you had the resources, you would. Because you care about other people. Did I ever tell you about the job, the only job I ever had in my life that I didn't like? When I first moved to Tulsa, about to enroll in Bible college, I got a job as a telemarketer for a company that raised funds for the Oklahoma Special Olympics. What a worthy cause. Amen? And so we would go down this list and make phone calls, so many an hour, and we would try to get people to buy first aid kits and trash bags. And the proceeds would benefit the kids for the Oklahoma Special Olympics. The only job I ever had, I didn't like. Now, you know, they thought I had the right voice for it. They thought that I had the right intelligence for it. But I didn't like that job. You know why? Two reasons, mainly. I found out that not all the money went to help the kids. That bothered me. And if somebody asked on the phone how much of this money goes to help the kids, by law, you had to tell them. And Charles, once you told them, you weren't selling them anything. Because the kids only got about 15%. The rest of the 85% went to pay overhead, pay us, and all of that. I didn't like that. But you know what I didn't like more than that? The number of people that I would call on the phone who would, for lack of a better term, spill their guts to you on the telephone. And they're just going through hell. I couldn't tell you how many times I got people on the telephone who were going through a divorce or who were losing a loved one because of illness and sickness or had just lost a loved one or who had just lost a job. And it wasn't everybody, but maybe 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 20 would have a heart-wrenching story, and I would just want to stop and minister to them. I would just want to stop and share the Word of God with them. If I could have gone through the phone and if I had unlimited resources, I would have met their need. But you know what? I don't have unlimited resources. I couldn't stop and minister to them. I had to move on to the next person. And so, you're trying to tell people, you know, I don't have time to counsel them on the phone. I didn't like that job. Amen? So now, of course, if you call me, I've got the time. Okay? If I can't respond to you immediately, I'll call you back. And we'll have a nice chat. And I'll do what I can for you. But you know what? I'm going to point you to the one who does have unlimited resources. And if you will give him permission, he will bless your life. Now, what do I mean, if you will give him permission? If you'll respond in faith. That's how you give him permission. See, if you will just respond in faith, he will meet you and provide for you and do everything you need if you'll just give him permission. You give him permission by your faith. Just trusting and believing him. Amen? So, Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he'd promised he was able also to perform. This Roman centurion cared about someone else, his servant. The Syrophoenician woman, Lebanese woman, was not there for her. She was there for her daughter. So great faith cares about others. Here's another characteristic of great faith. Great faith believes God's word. The Roman centurion said, I understand authority. And literally, that's what he was saying. I understand authority. I am under authority, and I am an authority figure. When I say to one of my troops, do this, it gets done. I recognize that you have authority that's greater than mine. And I didn't feel myself worthy to come to you, neither did I feel myself worthy to have you in my home. All you have to do is say it. I know that your word carries more weight than mine. If you'll just say it, that's all we need because it'll be done. Great faith believes God's word. And Jesus said, I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel. And he said to those who came to meet him from the house, you go tell your boss. He's got it. He got what he believed. And you know what? His faith was the tool that got him there. And by the time they got back to the house, notice that passage says they were not very far from the house. When they got back to the house, the servant was completely made whole. Didn't take long, did it? Amen? Great faith believes God's word. You know, there was an instance in one of the Gospels where a man, and it's, you'll only find this in one Gospel, and it calls him a nobleman. This nobleman came to Jesus. Jesus happened to be in Cana of Galilee, where he turned water to wine. And this man's son was dying some 15 to 20 miles away. And this nobleman found Jesus and said to him, "Sir, please come down to where my son is or he's going to die." Now, you all remember this story. And Jesus said to the nobleman, "Except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe." Now, listen to me. That sounds like a pretty harsh thing to say to a guy whose child is dying. Doesn't it? That sounds, here's the proper word, callous. Could you imagine if somebody was dying and they called Pastor Bill and I come and they're, you know, they said, "We need you to come down to the hospital because their son is..." And if I were to say something, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe..." Y'all would get on me like white on rice. Boy, what is wrong with him? What kind of attitude is that? Listen to me. Jesus was not being callous with that man. I am sure that Jesus was just repeating to him something that he had said earlier. Somebody had probably told him about Jesus turning water to wine at the wedding in Cana. And he probably said something like, "Oh, I don't believe that. I'd have to see that to believe it." Now, fast forward maybe a year and a half, 2 years later. His child is dying. He remembers what he heard about Jesus. He asks and inquires, finds out where Jesus is, meets him in Cana of Galilee, says, "Please come down or my child will die." And Jesus repeats to him what he had said earlier, "Except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe, huh?" And this man said, "Oh, please come down, my child will die." And Jesus said, "Go your way, your son lives." This man didn't have a choice. Because you know what? Jesus was not coming to his house. He said, "Go home, your son lives." Faith acts on God's word. This guy really didn't have a choice because Jesus was not coming. And so he started and headed back to the house. Who knows what he was thinking all the way home? But before he got home, people from the house met him on the road and said, "Hey, your son has recovered. He's better. He's going to live." And he said, "When did he start to get better?" And they told him, and he figured it was the time when Jesus said to him, "Go home, your son lives." Strong faith believes God's word. Listen to me carefully now. God's word, whether it's spoken from the lips of Jesus or found in the pages of this book, is just as powerful. Are you with me? If you find a promise in this book that applies to you, it is just as powerful as Jesus standing in front of you in your living room and quoting verbatim the same thing. What you have to do is just believe the word. It'll work for you just like it worked for them. Amen? Strong faith cares about others. Here's another thing about particularly the Roman centurion. The elders of the Jews came to Jesus and said, "You know, this guy's worthy because he loves our nation. And he's built us a synagogue." I can't think of an instance throughout history where a Roman occupying force built a synagogue for the local congregation. There was something different about this guy. Great faith walks in love. Great faith walks in love. In fact, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, faith works by love. You cannot be a person who has strong faith or great faith and not walk in love. Amen? Here's another characteristic. Great faith is disciplined. This man understood authority. He understood structure. He said, "Jesus, you don't have to come to my home. All you got to do is say it. That's all you got to do." Great faith is disciplined. Well, what's the opposite of disciplined? Lazy. Amen? I don't remember who it was, but I got great insight when I heard the guy say this. And I'll remember who it was shortly. But he simply said this, and he said it so everybody in the room could understand what he meant. He said, God don't bless no lazy people. Plain and simple. Amen. You understand exactly what I'm saying. God don't bless no lazy people. Amen. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Great faith cares about others. Great faith walks in love. Great faith is disciplined. Great faith trusts God's word. Amen. Romans chapter 15. Hallelujah. Okay. Notice verse 1. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. If you got it, say, I got it. Romans chapter 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Now listen, you know, there's a little bit that's lost in the language. The word infirmities in the New Testament does not always mean sickness or disease. The word infirmity literally means weakness or inability to produce results. You can think of it like this. It's when somebody reaches their end and there's nothing else at their disposal that they can do. They are unable to produce results. In other words, they found themselves in a situation that is beyond their ability to resolve it. We then that are strong ought to get in there and bear the infirmities, the weakness of them that are weak. In other words, we need to help them. Remember I talked about that yearning to reach through the phone and be able to help people and minister to people? But I couldn't do it because of the constraints of my job. But we can care for others by praying with them, by believing God with them, by surrounding them with faith, by just being an encourager. Everybody say encourager. When's the last time you picked up the phone just to encourage somebody? And say, hey, Odina, how you doing, girl? Amen? When's the last time you picked up the phone? And this happens to all of us. The Lord will place somebody on your heart. You know why He does that? Romans 15, 1. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. When God puts somebody on your heart, pray for them, number one, and just do what the Spirit of God leads you to do. Pick up the phone. Give them a call. Let me tell you a story. One time years ago, I had a fella, and I don't do this, so everybody keep this in the back of your mind. Pastor Bill does not bail people out of jail. All right? Everybody say, Pastor Bill doesn't do that. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, Pastor Bill doesn't. That's one thing. Don't call me, ask me to bail you out of jail, all right? But years ago, I had a good friend, Michael Whitfield, and Mike was my buddy. We went to Bible college together, and he had a little brother. And after Mike went back to Colorado Springs after graduating from Rhema, his brother stayed in Tulsa. And his brother was not as disciplined as Mike. His brother was not as serious about the things of God as Mike. His brother got in some trouble. And of course, Mike would call, and at times he couldn't find his brother. And his brother lived right around the corner from me, maybe three houses away. And so Mike would call me, hey, have you seen my brother? And I'd say, well, no, I haven't seen him. You know, I may have seen him a month ago, whatever. So from time to time, I'd go by the house just to check on him. Well, one day I got a phone call from the Tulsa City Jail. You have, you ever get those phone calls? You have a collect call from such and such, such and such. And I'm like, oh, no. And so I took the call, and it was Mike's little brother. And he proceeded to tell me how he got himself in a jam, and he couldn't bail himself out of jail. And he needed, I think it was $140, to bail himself out of jail. Now, as a rule, I don't do that. But this is my friend's little brother. He's several states away. And the Bible says we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And so I said, look, I'll come down, I'll make arrangements. I bailed the boy out of jail. All right? Then I wanted to follow up and check on him. He was never at the house. Well, I found out he had moved, and now he's living in an apartment downtown in this bad neighborhood. And, you know, I got other stuff to do. It's not like I like tracking people down, but I had to find him. Why? Because I cared about him. Now, when you take this upon yourself, God will always meet you there. And supernaturally, he enabled me to find this guy's car. Now, he's living in a big old apartment building. There must be 100 people in that building. You think I'm going door to door? Uh-uh. Not in that place. And so I wrote a little note, and his car window was open just enough where I could put this piece of paper in there. So I wrote a little note, and I said, hey, I said, call me. You know, I care about you. I'm concerned about you. Just want to help. And then I wrote this on the bottom of the note. I don't want my money back. A lot of times that's why people avoid you. And come on, if you can't say amen, say oh me. Because they think you want your money back. So I wrote on, I don't want my money. And so I put it in the thing of the 2 days later, I get a phone call. Hey, Bill, it's so-and-so. Hey, man, how you doing? Well, I was able to reestablish a relationship with this young man and lead him to a certain extent into the things of God, and his life began to turn around. Amen? I still see this guy from time to time now. Fast forward 35 years, all right? But there are times you got to roll up your sleeves and you got to go the extra mile to even encourage somebody. Amen? You got to go find them. You got to go get them. You know, because a lot of times for whatever reason people hide. I don't know why. You know, you just want to blend into the scenery and go away. We can't let people get away like that. Amen? One last passage. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We'll look at one verse, then we'll close. You guys good?
Yep.
Amen. It's not super hot this Sunday, is it? Galatians chapter 6. We talked about a lot of things in this series. We talked about faith being a tool, not a trophy. You know, it's one thing to have that baseball with the autograph in it. It's another thing to know how to throw that thing and use it like a tool. Galatians chapter 6, notice the first two verses. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, run from them. And tell everybody how bad they've been. What? That's not what it says? That's what a lot of people do. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, kick them to the curb. No? That's not what it says. You must have a different translation of the New Testament. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Notice verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You want to have strong faith? Start caring about other people. You want to have strong faith? Start reaching out and doing things that maybe will take you out of your comfort box. Amen? But I tell you what, once you get out of your comfort box, it's exciting. It really is. It really is. Now the adventure begins. Watch what God will do when you get out of your comfort zone. I mean, think about Abraham. God asked a lot of this man. The first thing God ever said to him when he first met him was, I want you to pack your stuff and get away from your family. Move. And Abram said, where are we going? He said, I'll show you. He didn't tell him where he was. I'll show you. Faith is an adventure. It's a journey where we're following after God. Sometimes you may not know where you'll end up, but just trust Him. He'll take care of you along the way. Amen. And so Abram began to follow after God. And he began to learn how faith works. Abram was the same guy who instituted the principle of the tithe, giving a tenth of his income to God. He did that long before the law of Moses. Why did he do that? Because God had delivered him and prospered him to the extent he wanted to honor him with just a tenth of what he earned. And he committed that to God. And one time when the king of Sodom said, I want to give you something, he said, I won't even take a shoelace from you, lest you take credit for prospering me. He said, but I lift my hand to Almighty God, the possessor of heaven and earth. He's the one who prospered me. Abraham learned some principles of faith as he followed after God. In the same manner, you too can live your life as an adventure. Just follow Him. He'll lead you through the Word. He'll lead you by His Spirit. And have the mindset that you are going to care about other people. Watch what God will do with your life. Watch what He'll do with your life. And you might think, well, Pastor, I don't have enough. I'm struggling. Well, maybe that's why you're struggling. Amen. Start caring about others. Yep. Start being a giver. Amen? Amen? You know what the New Testament says about people who used to be their occupation was thievery. You know what he says to former thieves? He said, let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him work with his hands the thing that is needed. Now notice this. He did not say that his needs might be met. He said this, that he might have to give to him that needeth. See, God's end result of the blessing in your life is not so your needs can be met. That's a given. But so that you can bless somebody else. So you can bless somebody else. We need to care after the things that are important. The most important thing in your life is the people that know you, the people that love you, the people that you have influence over. So if you want to have great faith, bear one another's burdens. When you hear somebody talking about a crisis or a need, man, roll your sleeves up and jump right in the middle of it. And just say, you know what? I know somebody who can help you. And then pray and believe God. Release your faith so that the blessing of God can come into their life. Watch what will happen. Watch. You'll experience life like you've never experienced it before. Amen? Did you learn anything today? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to pray. And then I'm going to have Brother Devin come and share for a moment.